Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @hiv_hour and Instagram at @hivhour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Good evening.
How is everyone.
Hey, yeah.
Good to see. Well, not see. I keep saying see you. Well, I'm seeing you on Zoom.
Well, we are sort of seeing each other, aren't we?
We can see each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, how are you, Stephen?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Just been busy and catching up with stuff and people. And now that the sun's out, everything just seems a bit nicer, doesn't it?
Mm. Yes. We've had a bit of mist down here, though. It's been misty, but it's
by the sea.
Yeah, but the sun's come out now, so that's good.
How are you doing, Sue?
Busy. Yeah, I sound like a broken record, don't I? But I mean, it's good. It's good, busy, isn't it? You know. But like you said, Stephen, it's so nice to see the sun. It just gives it a really different sort of outlook to everything and everything that's going on at the moment. You know, it just gives it. It makes you just feel better when you look out the window. That bit of sunshine, that bit you can take your cardigan off, or you know, and walk around in your sandals. Do you know what I mean, Josh?
I don't know what you mean. So I don't wear cardigans.
Are you sure?
No. Go lovely gabardine. You know,
oh dear.
Yes. No Tony today, unfortunately. But
yes,
sure
he's busy being his busy self. So
yes. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say before we talk about the show, we are, as we are all volunteers and we work for a community, Radio Reverb is a community radio station. There's a thing coming up called Brighton Soup, which helps projects with small amounts of money to keep them going and to put into their projects. So we're doing a pitch next week on the 17th of June at 7 p.m. Now, we kind of want... I think what it is, I've never done one of these before. I think you have, Sue, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Pitch
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Zoom event. So what you do is you go onto their website, which is brightonsoup.org.uk, and you can buy a ticket, which means you can go to the event, you can watch the pictures, you can support people, or support us, hopefully. And I think you vote as well. So the more support we get, the more people who go onto it, will help us to maybe get the funds we need to keep broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Which is really important.
And the tickets don't cost a lot, do they, Josh?
It's £4 for a single ticket. Mm-hmm. I think if there's, you can get a double ticket. But if you go on the website, again, brightonsoup.org.uk, and go to buy tickets, I've just looked mm-hmm. today, it shows you what you can do and what tickets you can buy and how the event is set out. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so, and you and Tony are doing the pitch, aren't you?
Yes, we are. I'm busy sort of putting that together as we speak. And it's really quite important, not just for us as presenters for the HIV, but, you know, we feel part of the community we represent, and we feel really quite passionate, don't we, guys, that, you yeah. know, this... I don't know about you guys, but I've always believed and still do believe that what we offer is a grand service to other people within our community. And, you know, we have to stay on there. We have to keep doing what we're doing. And some of that is going to go into the pitch we're going to be putting across. So, you know, even, you know, all little small amounts of money makes our continued job possible to, you know, to stay on air, to stay online, and to support others in the community. So it's really, really important. That little amount can go such a long way.
Yeah. So if you can make it next week and you can buy a ticket, and cheer us on and vote for us, that would be fantastic.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So what's on the show today? What, you've got a great story, Stephen.
I have. I spoke to Siobhan Lanigan, who is part of a number of different groups that have come together to make up the AIDS Memorial Quilt that is being brought to London and being displayed in full for the first time since 1994. So that was, it was really interesting talking to her and finding out all about, you know, more about the quilt and things like that. So yeah, that was a good one.
And that really sort of resonates with what's just happened a few days ago. We've had the anniversary of the first reported cases of AIDS. Now, why we say AIDS at the moment is because obviously 40 years ago we didn't have a proper name for HIV, so it was AIDS. And we're sort of, you know, that's a great commemoration of and if you think about it, 32 million people globally have lost their lives, and it, you know, it just literally pinches your heart when you think of that, doesn't it? And that includes 700,000 in the United States. So, you know, your talk about the quilt does really resonate with, you know, what we're commemorating at the moment. So, yeah, really interesting interview to listen to.
Yeah, and you've got a story as well, Sue, haven't you?
I have, actually. I know we sort of bang on a bit about, you know, not just stuff in our own country, but, you know, what's going on abroad in other parts of the world. And I think it's important just to touch on what's going on because, you know, this is a global situation we want to end. And I think it's being able to bring stories from far apart into the UK to see what other people are doing and what's happening. So, and I've got a really interesting story. It's about Uganda's motorcycle taxi riders are threatening to derail the country's fight against HIV because of risky sexual behaviour. So, yes, I know. But that's a really interesting story, which I know we're going to talk about, aren't we?
Yes, fantastic. Later on, we've got another interview with Glenn Stevens, who is the project coordinator for More to Me Than HIV, which is a Brighton-based project. So that's, we'll listen to that towards the end of the show.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
So, Sue, you've got your interview for us now, don't you?
It's been a new story, and it's from across the pond, far away across the pond, and it's under sort of global development, and the headline says, "Sex for a Fare." Motorcycle taxis threaten Uganda's fight against AIDS. Okay. So basically, there's been sort of a survey done with what's going on. And I'll just tell you a little bit about it. So basically, Uganda's motorcycle taxi riders threaten to derail the country's fight against HIV because of risky sexual behaviour. Now, this includes sex with clients in lieu of payment, according to a new study. So a new study's been done. Okay, so what they're saying is at least 12% of a sample of 281 commercial riders. Now, these are motorbike riders, by the way. Okay. A common informal job known as Boda Boda. Did you know that, Stephen? Boda Boda. Yeah. Okay. And dominated by young men. Admitted to engaging in transsexual sex with customers who failed to pay their fares. 65% reported having had sex with more than one partner in the last 12 months, and 23% had multiple partners in the same period. So that's with 57% reported that they did not use condom at all in the last 6 months prior to the survey. Now, obviously, this has been conducted by the College of Education and External Studies. Now, so basically, engaging with multiple sexual partners is a high-risk sexual behaviour, and that, I think that's in any situation. But why they're sort of looking at this, because it shows that a need to educate young Ugandans to understand unsafe and irresponsible sexual behaviour. Now, the study was conducted in the district of Naumyo. I think it's Maayingo. Must get that right. Now, the revelation from the study that customers who can't afford to pay service freely offer sex at a high proportion are actually engaging in risky sexual behaviour and multiple partners without a condom. And this is concerning. So basically, you know, the study is in the wake-up call, really, because they're calling on a scaling down the targeting of these boders as a high priority. Then we may end up in a shock, they're saying. So they're saying we should continue prioritising them. So basically, they're not saying they shouldn't be doing it, but they need education, because the majority of the boder drivers are young men. And we're not just talking about sex having sex with men, women. Apparently, they said that some of the ladies are tempting in some of the statements, and that they're saying that they can't say no because some of the ladies are getting on the back of the bikes where they haven't got any money, and they're saying, you know, I'll give you sex if you drop the fee. And so we're not just talking about any community, we're talking about all the communities. So I think the message to this survey is that, you know, because, you know, we have no, we're not in a position to criticise or assume why people earn their money. But yeah, I think what the messages are coming from this is that there needs to be more education, you know, of HIV, how HIV is transmitted, how sexually transmitted infections are transmitted. And then, you know, if they're going to do that, because we never, you know, we have to be open and free about whatever anyone decides to do. I think it's, you know, often them have condoms, because the majority of the boder drivers are not using condoms. So I think this is, you know, they want to make sure they get the, you know, the right information. So obviously, because they're going to derail what the good work that's happening in Uganda. And what one of the statements was said, well, you know, we don't have to worry about that because of the ARVs, you know, the HIV medication, but that's all in good. But what they're saying is, well, if we get HIV, we'll just go on to the medication. Yes, but, you know, we all know that it's not just taking the medication.
Well, there's also other STIs as well, isn't there?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just a really interesting story. And, you know, there is a lot of poverty in Uganda as well.
I was going to say that. A lot of poverty.
Yeah. And you know, they're saying, well, if you can't pay your fare, if you have sex, you know, that's your fare paid for. And we have got no right as individuals to judge situations. But I think what we need to, especially in Uganda, this is what's going on, and they're at risk of derailing all that fabulous work they're doing in Uganda, is to make sure these boder drivers are getting information, having access to condoms, you know. So just thought I'd sort of throw that in the mix.
Your phone's gone off. It's the pleasures of zooming
of gadgets.
Gadgets, yes. Yeah, it's a great story, isn't it? Yeah, it's interesting to see if that's across the board as well, though, in different countries as well.
I'm sure it is, you know, especially where there's poverty, Stephen. You have a choice. You put food on the table, you do certain things. And, you know, and if you're not, if you can't imagine ever being in that situation, you can't, because, you know, if you've got to feed, if you've got to feed your babies or you've got to feed your family, one will do what one has to do. Yeah. So, yeah.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the HIV Hour. So today I have a guest, and that guest is Siobhan Lanigan. And Siobhan, it works for the food... Which one is it, Siobhan?
The food chain, yeah.
And but Siobhan is also part of another group that is bringing the AIDS Memorial Quilt to London. So, Siobhan, thank you for being on today.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. So, Siobhan, I just wanted to ask you some questions about the fact that the quilt was coming to London, and just get a bit more information for people that might not know about the quilt.
Yeah, certainly. So the UK AIDS Memorial Quilt is made up of 42 very large displays of memorial panels that were created for people in memory of those they had lost to AIDS during the 1980s and early 1990s. It was part of a project called the NAMES Project that began in the United States but also began in the UK at around the same time. And the idea was that people could create a lasting memory as a memorial to those who had died at that time, and that they would all be joined together in one very, very large quilt, like a patchwork quilt, but a global patchwork quilt. So there are actually quilt panels all over the world, and in the UK we have 48 of these very large quilt panels, which each probably contain memorials to around about 8 people or more on each panel. And they're very beautiful items that have been very lovingly crafted and created, and they're full of lovely images and references, and they celebrate life, and they also recognise loss and sadness, which was so prevalent at the time in those early years of HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, I saw them a few years ago. There were some panels, probably about 10 of them at Westminster. So I saw them then, and that was just 10 or so panels, you know, Siobhan, and that was, I really felt emotional, you know, looking at them and reading them, and you know, reading the messages from the, you know, the family, the friends, the lovers of these people that that were commemorating the people that had been lost, especially in the 80s and 90s to AIDS. Obviously now that the quilt is being brought to London, and is it going to be shown in full, Siobhan? Is it going to be the whole quilt?
It is. Yes, we're very pleased that for the first time for a long time, we're going to be able to display all the UK panels in one place at one time, and that last happened in a display in Hyde Park back in 1994. So although some of the panels have been seen since then in some of the displays that we've been able to hold, this is the first time for a long time that we've been able to bring them together. And the event is going to take place quite close to King's Cross in a building called Acorn House, which many people will recognise as an address that has housed a number of different HIV charities over the years, including the Food Chain, which is the charity that is still based there, the charity that I work for. So we're fortunate enough to be able to use that building, because it is only ourselves occupying it at the moment. We're going to use the whole building to make the display as powerful as we can possibly make it. And it's a very, as you say, it's a very emotional experience when you see a few of the panels. So I would anticipate that it's going to be extremely powerful when you see so many of them all together.
I think it definitely will be. I, you know, even just talking about it, the thought of seeing all those panels together will be, I think, amazingly emotional for a lot of people, but it will be wonderful to see them all together, won't it? You know, because obviously, I'm sure you know, there have been smaller displays of them over the years, haven't there?
There have, but it's such an array of different lives that are reflected there, and such a celebration of that, so there's people of all backgrounds and ages, different sexualities, although, for obvious reasons, a great many of the memorials are to gay men, who were the group that was sadly the most adversely affected in those first years in the UK, and that is reflected there. But we also see other family members, we see people, we see mothers, we see children, we see the parents of... Often the panels are made by family members, so you see messages from parents and lovers and partners and friends.
Yeah.
It's incredibly rich and vibrant set of people coming together. And it's like it brings it to life, just being in the room with the panels. It brings people to life, in a sense, which, of course, is exactly... what was intended, so that they're never forgotten.
Never forgotten, yeah. So, do you know, Siobhan, when the quilt? I know there was the American quilt. I'd known all about that, but it wasn't until I saw the panels in Westminster a few years ago that I first knew that there was a UK quilt. So, when it was started here in the UK?
Yes, it was set up in 1988, and it was based in Edinburgh. It was called the Names Project, as the same as the American version, but the office was based in Edinburgh, and that is where all the individual panels would get sent to, as people made them, to be put on the register of people memorialised, and then sewn together into the larger panels. And indeed, they also had the records that went with that. So we often have, for many of the panels, we have quite a lot of detail about the person that we have... letters from family members, we have letters from family members and recollections about people, sometimes photographs. So there's a whole accompanying archive of material, as well as the panels themselves, through which we're able to tell their stories. And part of the event will be, and will create, a number of audio stories so people can hear about some of the panels that they're viewing, and so that people can read information about some of the panels. So a whole new way of extra dimensions being brought to it, so that people can understand more about the real-life people that are being memorialised and celebrated.
Yeah, it's a wonderful... It's, you know, although it's emotional, it's a wonderful celebration, isn't it, of these lives, you know, and making sure that they aren't forgotten.
Definitely that. And it's a reminder, I think, as well, that fantastically we've come a very, very long way in grappling with HIV, and somebody with a diagnosis today, if diagnosed early and put onto treatment early, can live a long and healthy life and is also in a position to be undetectable and therefore not able to pass on the virus to anyone else. That is all absolutely fantastic. But we also know that for some people that's not the case, and there are still some people who struggle with HIV or who may be diagnosed late, who may be diagnosed at a time they're already very poorly, and who still are not able to reach that place of living well with HIV. And so it's a bit of a reminder as well. It's a celebration of how far we've come, but also a reminder that we still need that same energy to carry on the work and carry on making sure that everybody who has an HIV diagnosis now is able to reach that potential of living well and living a long and healthy life, even with the virus. So it's a little reminder to us to not forget them too. And also to still really fight the stigma that some people still experience in relation to an HIV diagnosis. Sadly and amazingly, that's still out there. So the more we can do to talk about HIV, to remind people and educate the world that this is about people. It's not about anything else. It's about people's lives. Mm-hmm. People can live without this, and it's not something that needs to carry judgment. So the more we can grapple with that stigma and fight it back, the better. And this is another way of doing that. It's another way of getting the conversation going for people who might not really know so much about that nowadays.
Yeah.
So we hope it will raise awareness and help people understand some of the issues that we're still facing.
Well, exactly, Siobhan, because, you know, it was June 5th, 1981, wasn't it, that a mystery illness was reported in LA? That was 40 years ago, you know, almost to the day. It's crazy. It just, it doesn't seem real that, you know, that it's been going on for so long, you know, and as you say, we have made so many advances, and, you know, as you said, You Equals You is a, you know, for me, living with HIV, it's an amazing thing, you know, to be undetectable and to know that, you know, I cannot pass the virus on, but there's still so much to be done, isn't there?
That's right. We have a lot to celebrate and a lot to be pleased about in terms of progress. But we still all need to stay together to go that last bit of the journey, so that eventually everyone can be in that same position of living well with HIV, and also of, you know, reducing the number of people, reducing the number of new infections, not just in the UK, of course, but across the world, really.
Yeah. Now, Siobhan, this might seem like a silly question, but the panels are not small. So what happens about storage for these panels? Because they have to be kept somewhere all this time. So how has that been? Has that been an issue?
It has, yes. The panels are stored when they're not on display anywhere. They're stored in boxes and sometimes in canvas bags. And they are, they're 12 feet by 12 feet. Which is a very big, very big piece of fabric.
Yeah.
So they get folded. They're folded to go into storage, but that still takes up a lot of storage space. And in their lifetimes, they've had different homes. At the moment, they're mostly stored with the charity Positive East, which is based in East London.
Yeah.
At times in their past, they've been at George House Trust, which is in Manchester, and of course they began their storage life in Edinburgh, when the project was still there. So they have had different homes, but part of our hope as the partnership of charities that are organising this event and that look after the quilt panels, part of our hope is that we will one day be able to find them a permanent home where they can be stored safely, securely, and looked after well,
yeah,
but also be put on display and made available for display, so that they don't just sit in a storage unit.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much a living memorial, it's very much a living artifact, and we hope that it will find a safe home one day, but that it will also be very much open to the public and people seeing it and sharing it, yeah, for, you know, for decades to come, really.
Yeah. So the quilt is going to be displayed on July 3rd and July 4th, and then the following weekend of July 10th and the 11th, as Siobhan said, at Acorn House, which is in Gray's Inn Road, which is just a short walk up from the Tube Station, King's Cross Tube Station. I've got all those dates right, haven't I, Siobhan?
You have indeed. And if people want to book a place, we have to do it by bookings because of regulations at the moment. So the booking slots are all available on an Eventbrite page, which I'm sure we can share somehow as part of the programme. So, yes, people can book their places online already and can continue to do so right up until the event.
Yeah, if you just go, I just had a look last night, and if you just go into Google and type in the event, it takes you right to the page. So yes, so so well, I'm really looking forward to being there and seeing this, Siobhan, and also we're going to do a video for Heart Talks, so that people that can't be there can get to experience this as well. So thank you, Siobhan, for coming on the HIV Hour today, and yeah, thank you for doing what you do. It's really great and it's really important.
Thanks, Stephen. It'll be lovely to see you at the event. Thank you.
Great. Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story.
Radio Reverb.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. I'm glad to have Glenn Stevens, who is the project coordinator of More to Me Than HIV. How are you, Glenn?
I'm very well, thank you, Josh. How are you?
I'm not too bad, yes. Keep going, don't we?
We do, yes. The only way forward.
Yes, in these times. Yes. So could you let our listeners know a little bit about the project More to Me Than HIV? Because it's been going for a few months, hasn't it now?
Yeah, so the project was originally supposed to be, was launched last year as an online event. We were collecting images from people who are HIV positive to send in a portrait of themselves, along with two other photos that represented the More to Me part of them. Because of COVID, like I say, it was an online event. So for this year, we're continuing inviting people to send in their images, and the project will then be shown as part of Jubilee Library within their windows and through some of the community libraries as well. So the main thing is to break down the stigma of HIV to just show that it's not the virus that it was back in the 80s, which a lot of people who are a part of this community may reflect back on.
Yes, yeah. Those images are still in people's minds, aren't they, actually?
Yeah, the tombstones and that, yeah, and the death and dying. But no, we've moved on leaps and bounds with the medication that we have now. And HIV is not the killer that it used to be in the UK, at least.
Yes. So what do you hope to achieve then with the project?
So our main aim is to break down the stigma, to open the conversation to the wider public, to get them to understand what HIV is today. Just that, really.
Yeah. I suppose if you're not infected by HIV or you don't know anybody who's HIV, you don't have those, you don't know, do you? So opening up to a wider audience is what we need, isn't it, really?
It definitely is. Because like I say, if you do not know someone who's HIV or your reference is just from the past, or you may just think that HIV has gone away and no longer is an issue. So we, through this project, we want to say, yes, HIV is still prevalent. And the way forward is to be tested if you're sexually active, be regularly HIV, have an HIV test, because the treatment program now is fantastic. When for people on effective HIV treatments, it's impossible for them to pass the virus on if they continue having the medication daily.
Yes, and that message is so good to keep going across, isn't it? Just to keep that message.
It is, and particularly for the generations coming up, from behind us. Sexual education in schools isn't particularly great. So we need to inform and inform everybody, what it is, what it means to be HIV now, and that it's not the horrors that it was in the past.
That's fair. What's the what's your response been so far?
So we had a really good response. I mean, considering that we were working through COVID, so we're very limited in how we were able to reach out to people. We've got a nice collection of portraits and images come through, but we still want to more people to get involved with the project. So part of this interview today is to reach out to everyone who's HIV, to consider going onto our website, moretomethanhiv.life, and see what the project is about. And please do submit your images.
Yep. Well, I've done it, as I know Sue has as well. So having a look at the website is great as well, and just seeing other people's images and
totally. And I think by people seeing what people have submitted before, to encourage them to submit their image. I mean, this is a very public project, And yeah, so that can be a little bit daunting for people. But what we say is, collectively, we can really make a difference by just showing that there's more to me than HIV.
Yeah, you're very supportive of that, aren't you? I know that on your on the project with your fellow colleagues, being mindful of that confidentiality and how people might feel. So.
Absolutely. So part of, you know, people can go onto the website, and there's the consent form in there. So you've got options of how public you want to be with those images. So it could be that you're happy for it to be your images to be online only, or that you want to go fully with it to and be in one of our libraries. To just do that. And I think this is a really good way forward. And part of our project, when we started this project, we started to realise that there's other brilliant projects out there. There's the Bristol Project's Positive Stories. There's been a long-running one, My Status Is Not a Secret, which is worldwide. Yeah. And Gareth Thomas, the rugby player, been working with THT, with I'm Living With HIV. So all these projects, we're all working together for the same aim of informing people and letting them know that, this isn't, the HIV isn't what it used to be. You know, this is something that we do live with, but it doesn't control our lives.
Yeah.
The government is working towards having HIV transmissions to zero by 2030. And the only way we're going to do this is if everyone takes responsibility for getting an HIV test. Yeah. There's fantastic medications now. For most people, it's just two or one tablet a day. And once you're on effective medication, then it's impossible to pass the virus on. So for people who find it difficult using condoms and stuff, if you're on effective treatment, then like Trivago, then it's just impossible to pass the virus on. So this is what we want to do. We want to encourage people to be open about their HIV status, to break down the stigma, and to encourage others to take responsibility for their HIV status as well. So collectively, we can reach that goal by 2030 for zero transmissions in the UK.
And so the just to remind us on the Jubilee Library, Glenn, as well.
So but that part of the project, we're running the exhibition through World AIDS Day week. So it'll be from Monday the 29th of November through to the 5th of December, where we'll be exhibiting the photos in the windows of Jubilee and through some of the community libraries. We're getting we'll be choosing a selection of submissions from that. So we've got a nice diverse collection of people. We have a photographer coming to take their portrait photo. And then we'll be printing up the images along with the two photos that represent the More to Me part of them. So please do get involved. Please send in your images to moretome.hiv.life.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks for coming on and good luck with the project.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I'll see you. Speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. So I am just going to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about my YouTube channel. Now, some of you know that I have a YouTube channel called Heart Talks. And basically, that's what I do. I talk about my life living with HIV. I talk about theatre. I talk about what's going on in entertainment. I also tell other people's stories. So it's, as we know on the HIV Hour, it's great to be able to share other people's stories. And I get the opportunity to do that quite often and have some amazing guests on my show. So if you would be interested in watching a Heart Talks video, then just look for me on YouTube, Heart Talks, and then you can also check out Stephen Hart, Heart Talks on Google, and that will take you to my page. And you can also, I've got a couple of videos up on the HIV Hour page as well, so you can find out what I'm doing when I'm not doing this.
Brilliant. Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, absolutely great. Great work you do, you know, apart from the great work you do on the HIV Hour. And we all do outside work, all for the cause, as one would say. Yes. Yeah.
What a great show. Another one in the bag. Yes,
another one in the bag. And and I know some listeners are probably thinking, when are you going to be back in the studio?
Yes.
Someday. No, we will.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I've got a T-shirt saying we'll get there.
No, we will do.
I think we just have to. It's very. We're in limbo time, aren't we? The normal thing. Yeah. So we're kind of just moving forward, but also we just have to be a bit vigilant, don't we? About how we interact still. So as soon as we can get in the studio, it'd be great to do a studio broadcast, wouldn't it? So
it would. But you know, like we've said before, haven't we, Stephen? The main thing is we're putting on a show.
The show must go on.
The show must go on.
Yeah. With all the blips and all the doorbells and all the Zoom interruptions, you know what? Doesn't it make it all just, you know, it's real, I suppose, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of it. I just want to say before we go, actually, that just to remind our listeners about Brighton Soup online Zoom event. So if you want to support us doing our little pitch, you can go to brightonsoup.org.uk, go to buy tickets and buy a ticket for the night, which is next Thursday, 17th of June. It starts at 7 p.m. And you can vote for us and just cheer us on if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you soon.
Yeah, great. Have a good week, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yes. Put suntan on.
Oh, yes. Be cautious.
Protect yourselves.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
HIV
Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.